Act 2, Aliens Love. Chapter 1, The Glacier. Joanne Tillinghast prided herself on being a cartographer of human weakness. She wasn't the prettiest or the richest girl at Big Bun's, but she was clever. The world, in her experience, was a simple ecosystem of predators and prey, and her survival dependent on accurately mapping the cracks in everyone around her, the fissures of lust, the fault lines of insecurity, the crumbling edges of fear. For 2 years, George Fields had been her most productive quarry, a walking, talking vein of lonely desperation she had mined with effortless precision. It was a perfect, sustainable system. Until the glacier arrived. Her name was Ellen Fields, transferred from a Milwaukee branch, allegedly. And from day one, she broke Joanne's entire model of human interaction. The other girls had cracks you could wedge your fingernail into. Vanity, jealousy, a need for gossip. Ellen offered only a smooth, impenetrable surface. She was polite but distant, efficient but disengaged. The male customers and kitchen staff orbited her like moths around a fusion reactor, drawn by the killer body and the unsettling, beautiful face. But she offered no warmth, no flicker of reciprocal interest. It was creepy. The mismatch of her situation was the most intriguing crack Joanne could initially identify. If a woman who looked like that was married, why was she working a dead-end job in a cheap burger joint wearing a uniform that probably cost less than her shampoo? It didn't fit. The mystery itched at Joanne. The lesbian theory was a long shot, but a calculated one. Joanne had a type for hyper-feminine women, and Ellen, for all her alien coolness, was certainly that. It was worth a probe. She chose her moment during the lull between the lunch rush and the early evening crowd. The back hallway by the staff lockers was empty. Ellen was methodically wiping down the stainless steel counter, her movements fluid and economical, leaving no smear behind. "Hey, Ellen, nice work on table 7 earlier. You handled that rowdy bachelor party like a pro." Joanne leaned against the lockers, adopting a casual, conspiratorial posture. Ellen didn't look up. "Thank you, Joanne Tillinghast. They were customers. I served them." The use of her full name was subtly unnerving.
"Right. Well, a few of us are heading to the Rusty Nail after shift. Good crowd. You should come."
Joanne let a suggestive smile play on her lips. "Could be more fun than going home to an empty apartment." That was the hook. Ellen finally stopped wiping and turned her head. Those heterochromatic eyes, one a deep placid blue, the other a startling mechanized red, fixed on Joanne. There was no curiosity in them, no judgment. It was the same look Joanne imagined a geologist would give a particularly unremarkable rock.
"I do not go to bars,"
Ellen stated, her voice a flat, perfect Midwestern monotone that felt like a computer-generated audio file.
"Okay, sure. We could do something else. Just the two of us?"
Joanne pressed, leaning in slightly, letting her voice drop into a more intimate register.
"I have to admit, I've been waiting to get to know you better. You're intriguing."
For a fraction of a second, Joanne thought she saw a flicker in the red eye. Not of interest, but of analysis. Like a scanner processing a new piece of data.
Then Alien delivered the line that shattered the entire encounter.
I am married.
The words were absolute. A statement of fact with the finality of a slamming vault door. Joanne's carefully constructed smile faltered.
Married? Really? I never see a ring.
It was a weak, desperate counter, and she knew it.
Alien's gaze didn't waver. Rings are inefficient for food service. They harbor bacteria.
She turned back to the counter and resumed wiping. The conversation clearly terminated. The dismissal was so complete, so bloodless, it was more insulting than outright hostility. She stood there, feeling a hot flush of humiliation creep up her neck. She had been prepared for rejection, a flirtatious laugh, a polite excuse, even disgust, but she hadn't been prepared for nothing. For the utter, glacial indifference that made her feel not just rejected, but invisible. The greasy air of the Big Bun's staff room clung to George's absence, a palpable emptiness that left Alien picking at her meal with detached precision. She plucked a beef patty from the bun, discarding the processed carbohydrates like so much chaff. Her body required protein, pure and simple, a crude fuel for a sublime purpose. But if her biology could compose its own menu, it would feature a single intoxicating vintage. The memory of George's essence, a sacred silken milk that had pulsed against her tongue. The recollection sent a warm, liquid shiver down her spine. A hunger so deep, it made the processed bovine muscle tissue, mixed with some weird chemicals, taste like ashes. Joanne Tillinghast slid into the seat opposite her, a predator testing the ice. Alien didn't look up, her focus inward, on the phantom taste of him.
I told you I am married, Alien stated, her voice a flat Midwestern monotone that felt generated rather than spoken.
Hey, just to talk, you know, girl talk.
Joanne's smile was a carefully sharpened tool. Alien's heterochromatic eyes remained on her food.
Uh-huh. Hey, are you a carnivore? Joanne pressed, leaning in slightly. My uncle tried to go carnivore. Wasted a lot of money on vitamins.
Good for him. Alien's reply was a dismissal.
Uh-huh. Any plans for the evening?
I am married.
This time Alien turned her head and Joanne felt the full force of that dual gaze. One eye a deep placid blue, the other a mechanized red that seemed to scan her soul.
What's that supposed to mean? It means I am happily married. And I love my husband completely and utterly. I'm not wasting time with other people.
The pause before people was subtle, but it carried a weight of a galactic divide.
Come on, don't bullshit me. No marriage can be that perfect. Only if you're lazy.
Ellen's lips curved into a faint, knowing smile.
I will do everything in my power to satisfy my husband.
Joanne blinked. What do you care if he's satisfied or not?
Alien looked at her as if she were a child, failing to grasp basic physics. My entire purpose is to satisfy my husband. I will go to any length to provide him with the best sex possible, as often as, well, safety allows. Satisfy? Girl, it's not the 1950s. He can't order you around. You can do whatever you want. I want to satisfy him. But he's back in wherever you're from. Oh no, he's here, in this town. Somebody I know? He used to work here.
Joanne's mind raced through the roster of former employees, landing on the only fitting candidate, Chad Adams, a gorgeous quarterback.
Who's the lucky guy? George Fields.
The name hit Joanne like a physical blow.
Fields? The loser?
Ellen turned fully, her body unnaturally still. Her blue eye seemed to darken into a bottomless ocean, while her red eye ignited with a faint internal crimson light.
Listen to me, Joanne Tillinghast from 328 Rosemary Street with a social security number 1687485286 3.
Joanne's blood ran cold. She had never shared that information.
George Fields is the most precious man on this or any planet. There is nothing I wouldn't do for him, and if you try to harm him in any way, I will stop your blood circulation by any means necessary. This is my only warning.
Ellen twitched, a subtle full-body spasm, as if struck by an invisible current. Her hand snapped toward the wall, her gaze piercing through the drywall and insulation as if it were glass.
Excuse me for 1 minute,
she said, her voice returning to that eerie calm.
George was bored. The apartment felt like a cage without Alien's presence. He had watched YouTube, eaten the leftover pancakes she'd made him, and now, with nothing to do, his thoughts drifted back to the divine memory of her massage. The mere recollection made him hard, a thick, aching pulse of blood that demanded attention. Well, since he had nothing better to do...
And just as Alien left her one and only warning to Joanne Tillinghast,
his hand was moving towards his zipper. The phone on the coffee table rang. He picked it up. Hello? George, it's Ellen.
Her voice was not in the earpiece. It seemed to emanate from the device itself, a low, thrumming purr that vibrated through his bones. He could almost feel her breath on his ear.
Oh, Ellen, I was just, thinking about you.
His face flushed, grateful she couldn't see him.
George, I have a big favor to ask.
Her tone was intimate, a confidential whisper that promised secrets.
Ask away? George, I'm horny.
The words were a lightning strike. His erection became so violent, so instantaneous, that he jumped to his feet, a strangled gasp escaping his lips.
What the? Yes, I am. And you are the only creature in the universe who can satisfy my immense sexual appetites. Are you up to it?
Her voice was a husky invitation, layered with a hunger that felt ancient and profound.
He was drowning in sensation, his mind fogged with desire. Good.
The satisfaction in her voice was palpable.
I have one condition, George. I want you to spurt the biggest load of your life. I will play a concerto on your nerve endings that will redefine your whole understanding of pleasure and open up a world of sensations beyond your wildest dreams. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Good. But there's a condition. Savor your semen. If you waste it prematurely, your senses will be dulled, and you will miss out on the greatest pleasure you've ever known. And I would never forgive myself.
Her voice dropped to a tender, almost pleading register.
So please, have a little patience and meet me at Big Bun's tonight at midnight with a fully loaded gun, if you catch my meaning.
The line went dead. George stood there, trembling, every cell in his body screaming with anticipation. The promise in her words had woven a spell around him, a contract of pleasure that left him aching and obedient.
From across the room, Joanne watched Elian. She was sitting, staring at the wall. Her face was a canvas of shifting expressions. A concentrated thousand-yard stare gave way to a subtle, sensual smile that made Joanne's skin crawl. Elian's lips parted slightly, her eyes fluttered close, and a faint, rosy blush crept up her neck. It was as if she were having an intimate conversation only she could hear, a silent dialogue of desire that was both terrifying and, Joanne had to admit it, strangely arousing. But no, better go with Scary.
Joanne scrambled away, her heart hammering. She had been looking for cracks in the glacier and found instead a core of molten, deadly poison.